left off yesterday. We're talking about two different parts of our sugya, which was actually machlokes and rishonim. There were really two different parts, really almost two of the same part. Namely, there was a double machlokes between Bishan and Bishalal. There was a machlokes concerning the size, the minimum size of the sukkah, the 6 tvach by 7 tvachim. Then there was another machlokes about if a person has a large sukkah and they're sitting at the edge of the sukkah, can they eat in such a way that the table is outside the sukkah? Do we have to be concerned lest they end up leaning outside of the sukkah? So there's a question, the Rishon Mor, and others, and then the Rif, and the Ran, about is this really one question or two questions, which is going to impact on do we paskin like Bishama in both of the cases. So vis-a-vis the 6 versus 7, we for sure paskin like Bishama, that's a Beferish Gemara and Rav Gimel. Whether or not we accept the Gezeira, so it depends. If you think that it's one issue, then we accept the Gezeira. If you think there are two issues, then we reject the Gezeira. So we're going to spend the rest of the sugya assuming that the gezeira really does exist. Like most of the Rishonim paskins, Shulchan Aruch paskins, that we do follow this gezeira. We are concerned with this gezeira, and even if a person has a very, very large sukkah, if you situate yourself in the very edge of the sukkah and you end up your table's outside the sukkah, that's a problem. Albeit midirabanan, in the Torah, it's not a problem. Midirabanan, that is a concern. Gezeira shamiyim shachach Shulchan Aruch. So it is that gezeira that the Mishnah has a very startling statement about. We actually, when we first started the sugya, right, a couple of days ago, so we made reference to this Mishnah. We made a point about this nekuda in the Mishnah, and we said we'd come back to it. So we have officially come back to it. So now let's go back to the Mishnah, back to the 7th of the Maamar Kamos, where the whole sugya started, and see the very, very strange presentation that the Tanoim had concerning this gezeira. So the Mishnah begins in the 7th of the Maamar Kamos, page 2. Misha Reishav Ruba Besuka. A person is most of his body, his head and his body is in the sukkah, and his table is in the house. Bishami paisa b'sil machshir. So Bishami says this is not acceptable. B'sil said it's fine. Amulam b'sil to Bishami. So B'sil wanted to prove that they were right. Loka chayamaisa. Didn't the following story happen? Shehochu zikne Bishami v'zikne b'sil. Levaka shabi yochem ben acharonis. That in the previous generation, the elders of Bishami b'sil went to visit Rabbi Yochem ben acharonis. And they happen to see this great tat. Imagine if everyone's going to visit him, he must have been very, very special. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, or some of the gears, Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni, whatever the gear says, that the Zakenim of that generation went to visit him on Yontif, and lo and behold, he was sitting in such a sukkah that his body was in the sukkah, but his table was in the house. And they didn't say anything to him. So from the fact that they didn't correct him, it would seem that the opinion in the previous generation that the Zikne Hador was that such a sukkah is acceptable. So Bishami responded back to Beis Hillel that you don't have the whole story. You're missing the punchline of the story. Misham Raya, you're trying to bring me a proof from that story. Afein Amrulo. No, they did say something to him. And what did they say to him? So this is the lashon that they said to him, according to Bishami's version of the story. Imkani says like quotation marks. Imkani says noyeg. If this is how you're practicing, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, then you have never ever fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah during your entire lifetime. Now again, Beis Hillel said that ended of the story never happened, but according to Bishami, which is in a sense the way we paskin, so we assume the end of the story did happen, that the Ziknei Ador did correct Rabbi Yochanan Acharonis, and they told him that what he did was not acceptable. Now, there's a way to say something's not acceptable, and there's a way to say something's not acceptable. I mean, you could say to somebody, oh, by the way, you know, there's a chashash to Rabbanon, that maybe it's not the right thing. You can come to the guy, come to somebody and say, lo kiyamtem mitzasuch b'yamecha. Isn't that a little bit of an exaggeration? Lo kiyamtem mitzasuch b'yamecha. Let's put everything into perspective. After all, it's only the Rabbanon anyway. The whole thing is only the Rabbanon. So why the harsh criticism of lo kiyamtem mitzasuch b'yamecha? So Tosfos on the spot picks up on this lashon, and Tosfos says, "Kidi ashkech on the beish." The 8th of the Rambam comes. Kidi ashkech on the beish shamai. Hechdi yosef a pischa de metalalta. According to beish shamai, if you're sitting on the pesach, metalalta means a sukkah, because talal means shade. Kalkein bo betzel korasi. So Rashi quotes in the Targum in Parshas Vayera, something betalala to something or other. So talala means shade. So metalalta means a place of shade, namely the sukkah. So Beis Shammai says, if you're sitting on the edge of your sukkah, to gazi shamiyum shachach shulchanai, v'ka'amri lo kiyamtem mitzvah b'yamecha. So now Tosfos gives a perush. In 4 words, Tosfos tells you, what are the ramifications of that statement? The afilu mid'araisa lo kiyem, that Rabbi Yochanan Acharoni was being told that he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah, even min ha-Torah. Now the question is, what in the world does that mean? Well, we just got finished saying that the whole thing is only a gezer midrabanan. So what do you mean you weren't yotzei min haTorah? So Tosfos is telling us something that is now way beyond the details of Hilchos Sukkah right now. Tosfos is raising the following question. We know very, very often in mitzvahs, there's a certain standard that has to be met min haTorah, and then the Chacham up the ante a little bit, up the stand a little bit. Min haTorah can be yotzei X, Y, Z, but midrabanan, we want to enhance the mitzvah, we have certain siyagim, certain gezerim, certain idurim, and the Chacham say you better do the mitzvah in such and such a manner. A person goes ahead and he only does the mitzvah according to the Torah standards. So obviously he didn't fulfill his obligation entirely. Obviously he's got to go back and do it again to fulfill it on the level of the Rabbanim. We're not questioning the requirements listed to the Chachmei HaTorah. But I want to know, in an almost academic sense, a theoretical sense, is he Yotzei min haTorah? By the way, comes to Shemayim. I don't know how they keep scoring Shemayim, the Raisas and the Rabbanim, but I just want to know, was he Yotzei on a level of the Raisa or not? So do we say that almost derais l'chud, and derabanan l'chud. That there's a world of deraisas, there's a world of derabanans. I did the mitzvah according to the standards deraisa, I was yotze min haTorah. Was I yotze l'maisa? Did I fulfill the mitzvah derabanan? No, I have to do the mitzvah over again to fulfill the derabanan. But at least on a level of deraisa, I did fulfill. Is that the pshat? So if it asked me, I would have said, of course that's the pshat. What's the shayla? Why would anybody say that? Because you didn't do a derabanan, you're not yotze min haTorah. Why would anybody say that? Tosfos just said that. Why would anybody say that? The Mishnah just said that. Lo kiyamta mitzasucha biyamecha. Tosfos understood that that phrase meant to conjure up the following image, that you, Rabbi Yochanan Charanis, you were not yetzei sukkah min haTorah. Min haTorah? The sukkah is kosher min haTorah. It's only gezeira. You're right. Since you violated sukkah midrabban, you ate in a sukkah in a way that's not acceptable by the Chachamim, that has the ability to unravel, to undo the entire mitzvah, even on a level of deraisa. So that's how Tosfos learns pshat and that critique of Rabbi Yochanan Charanis. It wasn't just, you know, hyperbole. It was a real halachic statement. Lo kiyamta mitzasukha miyamecha on a level of deraisa. Of course, the problem with Tosfos is like, why? Mehecha teisa? How does that work? How does that mechanism work that the Chachamim can say, hocus pocus, the mitzvah doesn't exist? How does that? On a level of deraisa, you'd say, why in the world? How does that work? What authority does the Chachamim have to change the rules in the sense that you're not even yotzei on a level of deraisa? So there is this.
It doesn't matter that even according to Beis Hillel, though, this would be good.
Right, because the Beis Shammai said to him that was wrong. The Beis Shammai said to him that that's not correct. The Beis Hillel Shittah was not
good. It could be like a Durbana that everyone agrees is a Durbana.
Yeah, okay. So, right, so you're trying to defend. You feel bad for Yochanan. You must be a descendant of Yochanan ben Charanis. You feel better for Yochanan ben Charanis. That, come on, what do they want from him? Maybe he was from the Beis Hillel. Maybe he held that it was okay. So Beis Shammai, they told him like it is. They said, no, we're right. That's the halacha like we're saying. And therefore, according to what we're saying, look, yam the mitzvah of yamecha. It's interesting. Yesterday, somebody called me about some question about Tarshim HaPeh and Tarshim HaChsav. They want a little bit of guidance about certain things were bothering them about the relationship between Tarshim HaChsav and Tarshim HaPeh. So I sent them to. They asked me if I had any shiurman. That's why I sent them to NCSY Summer 2008, even before your days, Andrew. Okay, maybe after your days, okay, summer of 2008, they gave a series of 12 shiurim in NCSY. It's the first summer day I gave a series of 12 shiurim about the relationship with Tosh B'Chsav and Tosh B'Peh and what the Chum can do, what the Chum can't do, and Siyogim, and their abundance, and their ayayay. So I told the person, go on while you're Torah, found for them the 12 shiurim. Then they asked me if I have anything. I guess they realized when I told them 12 shiurim times 45 minutes, they realized it was a little bit more than they were able to chew. So they asked me, do I have anything short, anything to read? So I said, sure, you can read the Perish of Mishnayos, Hakdam and Perish of Mishnayos, and Rambam. I said, it's only about 40 pages, that should be fine. I don't think they're going to call me anymore. So I was had a little rachmanis on them. So I happened to have the Perish of Mishnayos, Hakdam and Perish of Mishnayos, written in English. And somebody put out years ago the Hakdam and Perish of Mishnayos, which is a fascinating read. If you have a couple of days, it's really, really kedai to read. It's the Ram doesn't need my stamp of approval, but it's mavar a lot of things about Masorah and about the Arises and the Rabbanis with the Chum Kandu, it's had all those sugyas. So I said, let me go check and see. I could find the English Sefer. So I found the copy of the English Sefer. So I was going to recommend it to them to read. I realized it's excellent. I mean, the Rambam again doesn't need my approval. Translation is a good translation. But it's hard. It's very hard. It's not light reading. The person's going to stop and sit around, and shoot the breeze with it. So I was hesitant to tell the person to read it. But since I got it off the shelf, I started reading it last night. So last night I was munching on my post-dinner, 11 o'clock, and my post-dinner snack of snacks. And that's when my wife knows that's when most of my reading takes place. So I was starting, I was fiddling through and just pottering around a little bit. So I just happened to, I was reading the paragraph where it's not a paragraph, it was a chapter, where he goes through the Chachmei HaDoros in each generation. He tells you, these Tanoim were the first generation of Tanoim, these Tanoim were the second generation, the third Tanoim. And all of a sudden, I get to the list, I see Rabbi Yochanan Charonis is on the list. I got so excited. I said, well, he made a grand appearance before today. So he was, according to the English translation of the Chachmas HaRambam, the Pesach Mishnayos, Rabbi Yochanan Charonis was, rightfully so, from the early, early, early generations. He was from the Zikne B'Shabbisil, which is exactly what it says here, that the Zikne B'Shabbisil. So the Zikne B'Shabbisil, that means before the days, way before the days of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was a Talmud of Hillel. So he's from that Tkufa, right? give or take, you know, pre-Khorban Tkufa. So I got all excited that Rabbi Yochanan Charonis actually exists, and he made it to the list, that he was in an early, early, early Tanoim. Fine, getting back to the story, but the bottom line is that he was told by the Bishamais that he wasn't Yaitzid in Mitzvah Legamri. So how do we understand this mechanism that ties this Mechadish for us? So the Dvar Avram, the Rav in Kovna, the Dvar Avram was the last Rav in Kovna before the war. He actually died in 1941. He was, in a sense, spared. He wasn't killed. He died from a natural death in the Kovna ghetto, right before the Kovna ghetto was destroyed. So the Dvar Avram has an interesting insight into this Tosfos. Avram suggests that maybe what Tosfos means is almost through the back door. That means, technically speaking, there's really no mechanism to uproot a Din Min HaTorah. How can that work? It says in the Avram, what the Chum can do is they can say, if you sat in a sukkah, or you did a mitzvah that we don't approve of, you're a bal aveira. What you're doing is a mistake. What you're doing is a chait. What chait are you doing? There's a mitzvah HaTorah to listen to the Chachamim. You're not listening to us. So you're doing something wrong. Says the Devar Rama, you're doing something wrong. Now we can nab you and say, that's a mitzvah, blah, be'aveira. The Gemara says in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, that if you do a mitzvah in a manner that involves an aveira, you're not yotze. And the Gemara puts a pasuk for that. There's a question in the Rishonim, is that a real din deraisa, a real din derabanan? But let's assume for now that's a deraisa. There are some opinions in Rishonim. One place Tosfos writes for sure, it's a din min haTorah, that mitzvah be'aveira disqualifies even on level of deraisa. So it comes with Avram and says, just as the Mishnah says, the Gemara says in the third parak, if you have a stolen lulav and esrog, you're not yotze, even after the first day. The first day you're not yotze because it's not yours. But even on subsequent days where there's no requirement to be yours, so the Mishnah says lulav ha-gozel is posel. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says lulav ha-gozel is posel the whole week of Sukkot. Why? Mitzvah b'aveira. Since the mitzvah of the tilas lulav is taking place in the context of the aveira of gezela, that's a problem. And that's a problem even on level of deraisa. So it comes to the Dvar Avram and says, the Chachamim don't have a direct mechanism to uproot a mitzvah deraisa. They just don't have the authority to do that. But what they can do is, they can superimpose a chait, and once they superimpose the chait, now it falls into the pre-existing Torah category of mitzvah babi aveira. Once it's mitzvah babi aveira, it's not the Chachamim who are undoing the mitzvah. It's the principle of mitzvah babi aveira that's undoing the mitzvah. The Chachamim were just the ones who created the aveira of losos, of listening to the Chachamim. So the Dvar Avram himself gets a little bit nervous about this pshat, if this is really Tosfos Shita, because Tosfos in different places in the Masechta has different opinions about whether mitzvah b'aveira is really a psul d'araisa or not. So it's true what I told you, that Tosfos in the beginning of the third parak of Daf Lamed does say that mitzvah b'aveira is a problem in HaTorah. It disqualifies a mitzvah in HaTorah. But Tosfos in Sukkah and Daf Tes, in the first parak, doesn't say that way. It's actually Machlokes 2 days in Tosfos. Tosfos and Daf Tes in Sukkah writes explicitly that the whole principle of mitzvah babi aveira is only midrabbanan. The whole thing, the rabbanan hakol bikol kol, min haTorah, vishtei, where does it say mitzvah babi aveira in the Torah? That there's such a principle. Tosfos brings a proof, which others question. Tosfos brings a proof. The Gemara tells us in Daf Tes that a stolen Sukkah is possible. How do you know a stolen Sukkah is possible? Chagasukos tasa lecha, stolen sukkah is disqualified. Frektor is Akasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me a stolen sukkah is disqualified? It's a mitzvah babi aveira. I could have figured it out all on my own. Says Tosfos, you see from here that the principle of mitzvah babi aveira is not a principle of Torah. It's only a principle of Rabbanan. Other Tosfos and other Rishonim solve that problem differently. But Tosfos Shita in the first parak of Sukkah is such that mitzvah babi aveira is only a psul midrabbanan. So it comes to the Avraham and says, if I want to explain Pshat in the Tosfos in Sukkot of Gimel Aleph, Tosfos says that when you sit in a sukkah in contradiction to the Chachamim, so you're violating that terrible aver of lo sasur, and it's the principle of mitzvah babi aver, that's undoing your mitzvah on a level of deraisa, says the Dvar Ram. Let's be honest. Tosus in sukkah on daftes, which is almost six plot later. I mean, for us, that may be maybe a lifetime. But six plot later is not all that long. So you're going to tell me that the Tosus on daf gimel, that's disqualifying sitting in the sukkah, that's the Chachamim are frowning upon, is based on the Torah principle of mitzvah babi aveira, that Tosus themselves, in a few plot later, say it's only midrabanan, says the Dvar, it's a little bit overkill. That's a little bit too much. So what's pshat? So says the Dvar Ram, no. We can salvage this Tosfos and Daf Gimel even according to Tosfos and Daf Tes. Why? Says the Dvar Avram, Tosfos and Daf Tes is talking about a situation of mitzvah babi aveira, which means I did the aveira at one time, and that aveira is now helping facilitate the performance of a mitzvah. For example, I stole the sukkah last week, and now I'm sitting in the sukkah. I stole the lulav last week, and now I'm shaking the lulav. So that's called a mitzvah haba'a be'aveira. But that type of mitzvah babi aveira, where the chait precedes the mitzvah, it's assisting the mitzvah, it's enabling the mitzvah, but it's not b'shas ma'is of the mitzvah, that's up for negotiation, that's up for discussion. Is that type of a mitzvah babi aveira deraisa derabanan? So Tosfos Daf Lamed says even that's deraisa. Tosfos Daf Tes brings a raya from Sukkah Gzul of that's derabanan. We can negotiate, we can discuss, we can argue about whether that type of mitzvah babi aveira is deraisa derabanan. But says it to Avram, the mitzvah babi aveira and daf gimel is much more serious than daf tes. Why? And daf gimel, what's the aveira? Going into the sukkah and eating in the sukkah in that manner of having your table outside, that's the violation of an aveira. That's the little sasmer that the Chachamim said not to, and you're doing it. You're a bala aveira b'shasa mitzvah. Your aveira didn't help facilitate a mitzvah down the line. Your aveira is hainu hach, is b'shasa mitzvah gufa. You, the very mitzvah that you're doing is the gufa shas aveira, says the Dvar Ram. That's the worst case scenario of mitzvah babi aveira, and that's their deraisa hands down. That's their deraisa according to all opinions, and that's what Tosfos is driving at. So again, the Dvar Ram has a big chiddush in the Tosfos, but they stop. Dvar Ram says, how else do you explain Tosfos? What other mechanism is available to cancel mitzvahs, to revoke mitzvahs? Doesn't make any sense. It must be you're going through the back door mitzvah babi aveira. I mitzvah aveira is only the rabbanon. You have to touch up and you'll do a little bit of surgery, a touch up job on the Tosfos. But at the end of the day, the Rav Ram is convinced that the only road to go down to disqualify the mitzvah on the level of deraisa is through the vehicle of mitzvah babi aveira. So Rabbi Chanan disagrees with this Rav. Rabbi Chanan and Rav actually they were contemporaries. They were friends. They used to correspond. We have correspondence. Rabbi Chanan has printed some correspondence between Rav Ram and Rabbi Chanan. It's tragically Rabbi Chanan actually also Rabbi Chanan was killed actually in 1941, and he was actually killed also in that same area in the end of his life. So Rabbi Chanan ended up in Kovna, and all the upheavals when everyone was running away and right when the Nazis were invading. So the many people from Voronezh ended up running to Kovna. It was a bigger city, and then eventually Slobodka and Kovna were the same place. Slobodka was a suburb of Kovna. Then eventually Rabbi Chanan was killed, actually, with the Kedoshim in Slobodka at that time, right after the Rav Ram had passed away. So the Rabbi Chanan, they may have spoke about this in the last days in Kovna, I can't tell you, but I know that they did correspond about other things. So Rabbi Chanan suggests in his Sefer a little bit of a different twist of this Tosfos. Rabbi Chanan says that what Tosfos means is as follows. We know, there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, that Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim Lakor Dovah Min HaTorah B'Shei Va'Atase, that the Chachamim have the authority to tell us not to follow the mitzvahs of Torah if they do so in the realm of Shei Va'Atase, in the realm of sitting back and being passive. Say, for example, the Chachamim can and did tell us, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Min HaTorah, you have to blow shofar on Shabbos. There's no reason Min HaTorah not to blow on Shabbos. But the Rabbanan and the Chachamim are concerned, you may come to carry the shofar, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Gavalt, what right do they have to do it? They're changing the mitzvah of Torah. The Rabbanan Shalom said to blow, and they're saying not to blow. You're right. Yesh koch b'yad Chachamim lakor dovah min HaTorah b'sheva al tasa. The Chum do not have a right to tell us to drive in Shabbos, and they don't have a right to tell us to eat treif. They can't tell us to violate Aveiros, Bekum, Ba'aseh actively, but passively they can tell us, sit back, don't do the following mitzvahs. And they did it many times. They told us don't shake lulav when the first day is Shabbos. They told us don't wear tefillin on Yontif Sheni. A lot of times they told us don't do mitzvahs deraisa. We have the authority to do that. Yeshkoch be'alchom lachad tayyibishevatas. So says Rabbi Chanan, listen to the lashon of the Gemara. Yeshkoch be'alchom la'akor davar min haTorah. What does la'akor mean? La'akor means to uproot. Lakor means to cancel. Lakor, like when you uproot a tree, an ochre as a eitz, you uproot something. Comes Rebbe Chanan and says, when the Chachamim address a mitzvah essay, a Shev El Tasa, they have a right, literally, to be oiker tofa min haTorah. They could take a mitzvah and say the mitzvah doesn't exist. They can say, up until now, you thought there's a mitzvah to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah b'Shabbos. We, with the power invested in us, with the parsha of Lo Sosor gives the Chachamim the right not just to tell us to do things, but the Chachamim have a right to declare what used to be a mitzvah is a kiras davar min haTorah, is not a mitzvah anymore. That's all part of the parsha of Lo Sosor. So comes Rebbe Chanan and says, when the Chachamim tell you, don't sit in a sukkah in such a manner, what they're telling you is, the power invested in us, we are telling you, that is not called yeshiva b'sukkah anymore. A guy who eats in a sukkah when his table's outside, that's tantamount to eating in the house. Where's the authority? How the Chacham have a right to change it? That's the parsha of Yesh Koch Be'achav, Lachra Dov Min HaTorah, Pshut HaKemashmol, Lachra Dov Min HaTorah, B'Shev El Tasa, that the Chacham can mamish declare that the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. So a major machlokes in the Avraham and Rebbe Chanan, how do we get to this conclusion? How do we get to the point that the person who sits in the sukkah in a way that min haTorah is good. If you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, we'd say there's nothing wrong with it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Chanan says, fine, Moshe Rabbeinu would join him in the sukkah with the table outside. And yet once the Chachamim make the takana, at some point in history, Chazal made a takana not to do that, that can ruin the mitzvah of love of their Isa, either through the vehicle of the Dvar of Ram, that's based on mitzvah babi Aveira, or it's based on Yeshkoch ben Chanan lach adam etar b'shevel taz.
If you take the approach of Rav Chanan, is this a case by case where the Chachamim decide to do
it? Oh, excellent. Very good. Excellent. So we don't know for certain that they did it all the time. We know that they could have done it all the time. Do we have reason to believe that they did it, did not? So Rav Chanan is fascinated with this principle. This Yesoi that he's claiming Pshat and Tosis is a very fascinating principle. That the Chachamim can not just say not to do something, but they can literally declare that a mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. So Rav Chanan did some research on this, and he said he thinks that this very Nakuda is a machlokes, is a kibikias. It's 2 days in the Sefer Eshkol. That's assuming you know who the Sefer Eshkol is. Sefer Eshkol was written by the Raivid, but not the Raivid that we know of, by the Raivid's father-in-law. The Raivid's father-in-law also was the Rosh Tevis Raivid. He was actually the second of the Raivid. There were three Raivids. So the famous Raivid, who we usually quote, the Raivid in the Rambam, that was the third of the Raivids. The second one was the Rosh Tevis or Rav Avram Avbezdin or something. So they used to call him the Raivid also. So he wrote a sefer called the Sefer Eshkol. So in the Sefer Eshkol, he quotes the following shaila. There is a din min haTorah that if a person has a linen garment, so you have to put tzitzis on the linen garment. What kind of tzitzis do you have to put on? You have to put wool tzitzis on. Why? Because you have to put tcheles on. So if you have tcheles must be made of blue wool. It can't be made of other materials. It's made of blue wool. So how are you going to do that? I'm going to take a four-cornered linen beged and put on blue strings. That's chanisid derais of shatnes. You're right. Asay dochalos, asay. That the Gemara says this is one of the sources that the positive mitzvah of putting on tzitzis with tcheles overrides the iser of shatnes. This is assuming that your tcheles is authentic tcheles. What if you got cheated and you end up your tcheles is not kosher tcheles? So then you're violating shatnes for no reason. And then you chay malchus. It's shatnes shlo boko mitzvah. So it's a very, very risky thing. The din is min haTorah, if you have linen garment, you better put tcheles on. But we're very, very weary. We want to make 100% sure that you're doing it right. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Menachos that there existed a phenomena that people had tcheles that wasn't the correct tcheles. Can you imagine such a phenomenon exists? That maybe tcheles wasn't authentic. We don't know. We're not sure. So there were people in the days of Chazal who had what was called kol ilan. It was a cheap imitation of tcheles. It wasn't the real McCoy, but it was impossible to tell. So now we have a big problem. A fellow is going to be an innocent guy, a nice, well-meaning fellow. He's going to has a four-cornered linen beged. He goes to the store. He gets cheated, and he's putting on the imitation tcheles. He's putting on the imitation tcheles. There was no reason for him to do that. He accomplished nothing, and now, in effect, he's wearing shatnez without fulfilling the mitzvah tcheles. So he's violating the mitzvah deraisa. So the Chachamim were very, very worried about this. So they came with the following din mit derabban. The Chachamim said, even though min haTorah, if you have a four-cornered garment of linen, you must put tcheles on. Mit derabbanan, we tell you don't do it. Don't. It's too risky. Because if you put on the four-cornered garment with the tcheles, in case you goof and you get the wrong tcheles, you're going to violate kilayim. Don't do it. So what did they tell you can do? Wear the garment without putting tzitzis on. You don't have to put on blue. According to Moshe Shom, you don't have to put on white. Just don't put tzitzis anymore. The Chacham didn't want linen to have tzitzis. You're putting tzitzis on linen is too risky. You're asking for trouble. So with the Rabbanan, they told you, don't wear tzitzis. If you have a linen beged, just don't wear any tzitzis on it at all. How could they tell you to violate a mitzvah Torah? So the Gemara says, that's one of the examples of Yesh Koch Ben Chachamim, Lach Adov Yator B'Sheiv Al Tase. They're not telling you to do an Aveira. They're telling you, don't put on the tzitzis. So that they have a right to do. That's like, don't blow the shofar, don't shake a lulav, don't put on tefillin on Yom Sheni, don't put on the tzitzis. So some of you may be wondering, that's worse than Sheva Tasa, because they're telling you to put on the garment. So Tosfos says the kasha. There's a Tosfos in Yevamos about the kasha. Sorry about the kasha, and then maybe another time, another place. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says explicitly that the Chavim did away with the mitzvah of Sadin B'Tzitzis. Sadin means a linen garment. Don't wear the tzitzis, too risky, too dangerous. So comes the Sefer Eshkol and quotes of Machloik is two opinions in Rishonim. What if a fellow didn't listen to the Chachamim and he went ahead and he put on tcheles on his linen and he hit the jackpot, he got the right tcheles. He got the authentic tcheles. So mid Torah, what he did was okay. But mid Rabbanon, he shouldn't be doing that. So comes the Sefer Eshkol quotes one opinion that says, the fellow's chayav malchus. Malchus for what? For violating shatnez shalom b'mokom mitzvah. He's wearing shatnez without, for no tzarech. He's not fulfilling anything. What is he not fulfilling? He's not fulfilling tzitzis. For what reason is he not fulfilling? He's being yotzei tzitzis. Ben HaTorah is being yotzei tzitzis. No. Yesh koach b'acham lach adov ben HaTorah. The Chum undid, they unraveled, they uprooted the mitzvah of tzitzis on linen begadim. Igloi milsa, turns out the fellow's wearing a four-cornered garment with not halachically tzitzis on it, because these tzitzis have been disqualified by the rabbis. So he's wearing shatnez, shalom b'mokom mitzvah, and he's chayav malchus for lo sober shatnez. And the other opinion, Sefer Eshkol says, Ma pitom, what are you talking about? You're chayav malchus for. Said, Minatari, you're fulfilling tzitzis. I say, what you're doing is not right. You're violating what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're violating the Din Derabanan. We'll scream at you, we won't give you mafti yona, but we're not going to give you malchus. He said, what did you do wrong? On the love of the rice, if you would ask my Shabbat, he said, what I did was right. The tzitzis are right. The kilayim is everything's right. So says Rabbi Chanan, you see from this Sefer Eshkol, tucked away in this Bekiyas, Rabbi Chanan, every Sefer Eshkol, says you see in the Sefer Eshkol that this issue about the Chacham have a right to mamish uproot a mitzvah, to destroy a mitzvah, to remove a mitzvah off the radar screen, to remove it off the charts, legamrei, Tosfos claims yes. Tosfos don't pshat in Rabbi Yochanan Charani's story, yes. That the Chum can destroy a mitzvah and absolutely remove it off the charts. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukh miyamecha. That's exactly what one opinion in the Sefer Eshkol is saying. And the other opinion in the Sefer Eshkol seems to disagree and say, lo hayu dvar mi'olam, the Chum can't change the facts.
So both shitas, Dvar Amar Rochanan, both have this like Akira notion that it's removing it completely.
Right, but Rabbi Chanan came a different way.
Right, Rabbi say the notion of Kod Makadosh, Adayt Rabban Makadosh, you know, almost like say that the Rabbanan's ability to create this new mitzvah, in other words, it's supposed to being ochred and saying it's gone, come with the notion that once the Rabbanan are talking and this is the mitzvah, this is how the mitzvah is.
Right, but the question is, you're right, you're 100% right, but in doing so, what you're in effect saying, you're saying it in a prettier way, because you're uprooting. It's the negative, but in the mice of what they're doing is uprooting.
Isn't that
the Rav? So the Rav is saying they never really uprooted. Right. The Rav said, you're not doing the right thing. Right, by mitzvah by Aveir is around the back door, is through the back door, is knocking out the mitzvah. Rav Chanan is saying, no, the Chum is tough.
Right.
The Chum said,
right, but yeah, but I'm saying, so the notion of, let's say, that idea of called the Makaz Rabbanan, it's saying that the Rabbanan are saying, this is the vehicle of Kedushin.
But Kedushin they can do, because they have Kibbutz and Nefesh. There are vehicles, halachically, to explain how they do that in Kedushin. But just because they can do it in Kedushin doesn't mean they can do it in Mitzvah. It's a different area of halach. So Rabbi Chanan was very, very excited about the Shtigl Torah, and he brought it to Rav Chaim. He said this over to his Rebbe, to Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim told him he didn't think it was correct. So we'll have to pick up on Friday why Rav Chaim didn't accept what Rav Chanan said. This last thing, the rest, 99% Rav Chaim was okay with. The last point about the Sefer Eshkol, Rav Chaim didn't think was correct. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem will continue on Friday and go back to Ar Sugya as to what's going on in this place. Does anyone actually disagree with this place?